sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear this beard? It's perfect. Everything's fine. There is no problem. Everything's fine.
Rita, we thought this evening we'd put it to the listeners to see if we get any traction, because sustainability is very topical and often
it's
people
broad
have
as
lots
well.
Of, lots mm. of questions about it.
Yeah. I feel like when we talk about a topic, it's sort of
riles
a bunch
up.
Of yeah, a bunch of questions come through that aren't exactly on topic.
Should we start talking about a topic then?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of questions we can.
I've got one.
Fire
I've got one text in here that
oh
I need to
God,
read out.
I haven't.
Just a question about roll-on deodorant. Does it actually cool an overheated car engine like the ad from the 90s?
In the same world that women have blue periods.
What the fuck? Are you talking about the pain eraser?
What? Oh. Oh, we went down into it.
What's better, aerosol or roll-on, do you think? What should
well,
I be doing?
Aerosol doesn't have the CFCs anymore.
Okay, so I can just go now. But is it flammable, like fun still?
I think it is flammable still.
So that's nice of them to keep it flammable for the kids.
I'd say that roll-on, I don't know, this is not based on any research, but I'd say that roll-on is slightly better because I think those cans must be pretty hard to dispose of safely.
Well, we're shooting from the hip today.
So we are a little bit.
So
there
that's
is
okay. It's an open conversation. You can call us on 309-3879 and have a bant, or 5395 is the text line. I've got it open here. It's in my left eye, which is my good eye, so... we're safe.
Now, that Blood Nut song kind of touches on New Zealand's image as a clean, green country. Mm-hmm. Is that still...
how's our stock out there? In the, I think we're still... that bravado is still kind of holding up a little bit, eh?
Well, you know, I think that, measuring the perception on a global level is relatively difficult. There is actually a long-term study done in New Zealand on local perceptions. Mm-hmm. And the last one that I could find was 2016. And their local
great
perception
year
was actually... considered pretty adequate. It's such a Kiwi thing, adequate. It's like 1 to 10 and someone's gone 5.
So that's a pass.
yeah, totally.
That's a pass.
You know, they felt like the alpine forest and air was pretty, you know, pretty clean and green, but their exception was our rivers, our groundwater, and a lot of finger pointing at farming. So, you know, locally I think that's probably pretty bang on actually. A lot of our steep land is unable to be developed, so we have put
great news.
So we have put a lot of our alpine areas into national park, and as a result, they've stayed pretty pristine. But then once you start getting down into the lower areas, we don't really have any lowland that is not touched or not severely degraded.
Fucked.
Thank you. Statistically, we have some pretty shocking. We have some pretty shocking numbers. 62% of our ecosystems are declining or threatened, and that's that thing. Like the alpine, the rest of it's probably too high up or too. We can't touch it because it's too steep, sort of thing. So it's pretty sad. We have one of the highest percentages of threatened and endemic species in the world.
Is it mostly paintball that's doing all this? These sort of paintball areas. They seem to corner off a little bit of forest for that. Doesn't seem like that good of an idea.
Or those tiny little balloons, which is
$1,000. Like, yeah, how do you clean that up? You can't be painting trees.
Have we talked much on the Kia? Did we do a segment on the Kia?
Little maniac.
I think we did. We had a little brief.
Who's most endangered, the Kiwi or the Kia?
The Kia, I believe. Okay. Oh, but you've got to bear in mind that there's lots of different
types of
Kiwi.
We only need one, so we can probably whittle away until we get to the best one.
The brown Kiwi, I think there's quite
a few. We just want the most best looking Kiwi, I think, rather than muddle it up. How many Kias are there? Just the one?
5,000.
No, there's not many Kias left.
No, but that's the one type, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I see what you mean.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, we need to whittle it down to one type. It's just a bit messy trying to keep track of all these different types of Kiwis and explain it to other people. I mean,
I do. Something that I think is quite interesting about Kiwis is that we really only know everything we know about Kiwis. Kia, actually from the male Kia, because they come down and forage in the bins. Whereas the females are quite shy. And
they're probably just meditating or something.
They're up looking after the
kids, thought.
The babies. But yes, there is lots more coverage from outside the world about New Zealand's clean green image being kind of bullshit.
Is it? Is
New
it from
York
countries
Times,
like Sweden and that trying to bring us down to slightly beat us? Because they're so
self-righteous, those bastards. They've got everything. Although Finland's government's just imploded, so I don't
is
know.
It?
Yeah, but they did it like a few days out from election.
Let's
to, like,
not do
make
what they
point,
do, though. Let's be bigger than them and just say that we don't know anything about them.
No, lots of articles in the New York Times, lots of threads on things like Reddit and the quorum and those sorts of things where people are starting to go, travel to New Zealand, but wasn't as, here's a whole bunch of pictures of cows shitting in rivers, rubbish.
Look at this Irish family kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. So, and then the other thing that I was reading a lot about is our lax laws around the New Zealand brand itself and how people are starting to kind of rip it off and sell things.
Oh.
No, not so much that.
You mean just Manuka honey?
Yeah, more so like when someone's like, this is grown in New Zealand, but New Zealand, made from imported, exported. And then when they test it, it's high in something. And then it's like, well, they find out that actually that product, some of it came from overseas and that had high cadmium in the soil or whatever. So there's some things that have, because we haven't gone out of our way to protect the, New Zealand.
Also, percentages we're talking here, it can be like made in New Zealand if it's like 5% or something. I like it to the meat pie.
I don't think that there's anything to stop them saying, like, I don't think they can say made in New Zealand, but I think they can say, like, from New Zealand or, and we probably need to protect that a bit more, like champagne, right? You can't just go and call bubbly wine champagne. Mm. I think
most
that we need to have something.
I doubt. I doubt, and it doesn't get past me. Just thinking about the measles, a friend of mine said he has a pandemic game on his phone where, like, the world just, you're a virus and you have to make the whole world ill. It's kind of like, sounds pretty cool, right? It's like a bird's eye view situation. Wow. And apparently New Zealand is one of the hardest places to kind of infect.
Well, if it could shut down our border.
Is that the vibe?
And that's what I think that we,
it's kind of good to
maybe
know,
not the extreme of that, but that we really need to get a bit tougher on our border and we need to get a bit tougher.
Damn it.
A bit tougher on what we consider makes us different in the world. Like, do we need to look at, certain types of farming that make our products worth more overseas and give us a bit of a difference, and that's brand New Zealand or whatever.
Mm. What about our water? Isn't there a bit of a situation where people can just set up like a spring and cruise off with our water hard out? Is that still going on?
You can sort of. You do have to apply through a resource consent. If you've got a spring on your property, you can apply to your local council, and they have to. You have to prove that it's only a minor effect and what is considered a minor effect.
Yeah, you don't want to drink up
effect.
Someone else's milkshake kind of thing.
To be honest, there's some stuff that goes through where, I mean, you look at Christchurch right now and the water bottling, and they've had to, the water bottle companies even tapped an even deeper aquifer.
Did you
and
see
in
that,
the meantime,
John, when you were there?
I was in Christchurch and the local residents were, they had a special like water bottle thing which they put the water in to filter it.
Oh, the charcoal filter?
Tap water. Because I think
that was trending up in Auckland for a bit.
The tap water was, and of such poor quality that you're having to drink it through a
And I think
filter.
That's what people don't really realise. I hear people saying a lot of the time that water is just wasted and goes to sea anyway, and it's like, it's actually part of a process that you've got to have a lot of water into the system. So lots of rivers that flood occasionally and aquifers that are really nice and full, because it's part of the assimilation of pollutants. And if you're using it all upstream for irrigation or whatever, that's usually the main reason, then by the time it gets to the cities to drink, it's pretty well polluted because there's not a lot of it. The pollution to water ratio isn't great. So, and we're seeing that around the country, more boil water notices. I mean, the stats are pretty shocking. Like what happened in Havelock, I think, a couple of years ago, that was shocking for the developed world. It was something like 10 or 20%, 15% I think it was, of the population got severely sick from their water. Like that's so embarrassing for a wealthy country. And now we've got boil water notices happening up all the time. So our water situation is pretty dire and will be the single topic that kind of takes us down, I think, from an overseas perception, because water is a basic thing to not fuck up.
Did I hear that the world's basically kind of running out of water in a weird way?
Yeah, the UN said that that's the next big resource fight is going to be water.
A currency situation, isn't it?
I think the problem is that there's we need so much of it to produce food, that we're taking so much out of the system, and then it's always upstream, where people are. So it is. Water is a big concern for the globe.
Has anyone hacked sorting out seawater and turning it into water, like in a cheap kind of way?
Yep, no, but not in a cheap way. Yeah, it's an expensive process. I think we need to...
Probably use a lot of petrol.
Yeah, we need to find a way of, like, producing our food using grey water or having... Yeah, I mean, there's not... The water thing is probably a big topic on its own because there is a bunch of solutions, but it's not one... There's no silver bullet. It's 10,000 little fixes, you know? Yeah.
Heaps of lassos.
Now, there was also another question on how much methane is in the permafrost.
Okay. What?
What?
No, this is... Is
the permafrost a baddie in some kind of film I haven't seen?
The Arctic and Antarctic regions. Yeah. The permafrost just...
What about a mammoth or something like that? Anything like that?
So, permafrost is mainly in the Arctic because there's more land in the northern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, we don't have a lot of land.
Okay, are we talking flat Earth, or which Earth are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking the round Earth.
Okay,
yeah,
carry on.
Yeah. So, there's areas of the Arctic. It's actually really beautiful. If you Google permafrost, they're so beautiful. There's things called thermocasts, which I think are some of the most beautiful things on the planet. They're kind of like little patches of frozen mini lakes, I suppose. It's kind of hard to describe until you see them. But what they are is essentially areas of frozen soil. So...
looking at it now.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you get like a bird's eye view of some of these thermocasts
it's kind of like
stuff.
Like there's ice underneath and then life's just carried on top of the ice willy-nilly.
Yeah, yeah. Like pockets of water that are really like water... soil that's very heavy in water and then has frozen... see that one on the right there? Sorry, you guys can't see this. Yeah, kind of looks like you're looking at Mars from the sky or something. It's good. They're really beautiful. Anyway, they are... they're not actually always frozen, but they're mainly frozen throughout the year. And what's happening is they obviously, as the Earth is getting warmer, they're thawing very quickly, and as a result, they're releasing a lot. They're very methane heavy, and that's because of there's microbes in there that are releasing.
Stuff.
Yeah, and exactly. So it's a bit complicated how the methane's there, but in a nutshell, it's thawing very quickly and. The scary thing is, they don't know exactly how much methane is in it. So for the texter, I think it was actually on Facebook, who asked about the permafrost, there isn't really an easy answer from what I've seen, and that's the problem. They don't know how much methane is in these...
Do they need to change the name to not permafrost? Because is that like a short...
Perma is kind of like, not really permanent.
It's, yeah.
I thought it was a short for permanent.
Well, I think, I mean, they've been there for like up to 40,000 years, so I think at some point they weren't totally frozen.
Okay, so the name's a total fuck-up.
Yeah, I guess so. But you're right, they probably need to rename them. The thing that's going to fucking take us out is probably what they should need to be named as, because the problem with methane is that it's 20 times stronger, like more efficient at heating the Earth than carbon. So it's quite a scary greenhouse gas.
Is there any animal that just... We'll just make it all better if we just grow more of the animal, like cruise around just making it better.
Like a tree.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, do trees take methane out of the atmosphere?
No, they actually don't, but there isn't really methane, you know.
I guess what I'm getting at is we found out last week that an alpaca will eat gorse. Is there anything that will just suck up the methane?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of stomach an alpaca has. I'm like, can we eat an alpaca?
Nobody knows anything about alpacas. We just allowed them to cruise around. And we're like, actually, what even are you?
They're kind of cute, eh?
Yeah, they are. But fuck, what happened there? Did they something get on with the horse? Who knows?
There was an estimate of how much. It's worth thinking about.
You just look
about.
At them and you're like, yeah,
it's
that's
like a
buzzy.
There's
but
a giraffe
no one
involved.
Like when I was growing up and old McDonald had a farm. He never had an alpaca.
He didn't.
So what's going on there?
Or a Wanako?
Are you suggesting maybe some sort of sheep? And
I'm
some
just saying
sort of horse?
Maybe Bigfoot is an actual alpacas and he's just assimilated himself into society on all four legs. He's waiting to get up.
There'd be a lot of them. I thought there was only one Bigfoot.
What?
I thought there's only one Bigfoot.
Nah. It's just that's a squatch. It could be many or one.
I didn't realize.
Squatch.
And is that the same with the monster?
There's like
in
chupacabra
the lake?
And stuff like that. There's different types of Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
Chupacabra is not Bigfoot.
No,
Chupacabra,
but it's in the same
like
family. Yeah,
oh,
but they care
oh
about
gosh.
It. This, the community
Chupacabra
cares about it.
Not...
This is in the world that you can cool your vehicle down with roll-on deodorant.
That's a long one.
We just need to get some facts out here. They have been cited.
After meeting with a local apple farmer who was clearly shook up by his encounter, I saw a large black shadow right up against that apple tree right there.
The team strongly believed that there was a Bigfoot in the area.
You can't fight that audio. Nobody hires a voiceover guy that hard out. So it didn't happen, Rita.
Totally. It was probably just eating some apples.
Yeah, well, if I was Bigfoot, I'd have an apple.
He'd have to eat a lot of them. Because I assume a Bigfoot is bigger than a person.
Excuse me as well.
Yes.
It could be a female Bigfoot.
True.
I'll just stop you right there.
Someone has texted in saying apparently there's a fungus that could deal with methane.
Oh, of course. Oh, mushrooms will fix everything. Mycelium, yep. Man. Actually, the world's like 70% all on the ground is all mushroom. And apparently it's kind of like the internet. If we can figure it out, we'd have like an organic internet. That's what I heard on a Joe Rogan podcast.
Sure.
What, an internet made of mushrooms?
Yes, John. Mycelium internet.
Mycelium's amazing.
Well, they all talk to each other. They're all like connected underneath there.
Yeah. Yeah.
First frost is coming as well, which is exciting. What, do we know what fungus that might be? That sounds great.
I don't know what I'm getting at.
I was joke, but also I'm like...
The
crazy idea can sometimes be the one that fixes it. Hey.
We'll find out more about this fungus. Yeah, the problem is the permafrost methane is not in the carbon models at all. So it's one of those things that they kind of think we'll get to mid-century when that's when it's going to be really bad, and they're going to go, ah, fuck. You know that 2 degrees...
I love how you're saying they,
Well, I mean, like scientists, that 2 degrees is more like 6 degrees.
Feels like six though.
Totally. 6 degrees and we are all dead. So it's
really?
What about a real high mountain somewhere?
What about a real high mountain? Don't say we're all dead in front of John, you know?
Yes, sorry.
Hello, you with Sustaining Alive. We're just shooting the shit about sustainability. What's up?
I'm calling about the mushroom.
Oh, what's up, yo?
Yo.
Is that Ash?
Hey, yeah, it is.
Hey.
Tell us.
There's a mushroom out there that apparently can break down plastic. What do you know about that?
Alive? Yep, there is. I don't know if it's a mushroom or whether it's a bacteria?
Are we talking like plastic
bags? I think
it's
a fungus. It's a fungus. Okay. I've been looking into the mycologist Paul Stamets. He's a genius, by the way. Anyone wants to watch an interesting anything, look up Paul Stamets on YouTube.
The mushroom guy, totally.
Yeah. But apparently he's found a fungus that can help to break down plastic. And he's got a shit ton to say about the future of fungus and ecology and sustainability. It'd be really interesting if you could add that into your Sustaining Alive.
What's his
Paul
name?
Paul Stamets. It's like Stanet?
S-T-A-M-E-T-S.
Stamets.
I actually sent him an email the other day because he's my hero. I think I told you about that, Big Hungry, but
it's
he emailed me back 20 minutes later saying, hey, I'd be interested in coming to New Zealand this time next year. Stay in touch.
Rad. Well, we'll try and tee that up. We'll get him up to have a chat.
I think the world needs to listen to
the teachers, that is mushrooms, a little bit more.
100%.
Thanks, Ash. Thanks for calling.
Have a good night.
I think that we've completely underestimated mushrooms in general and funguses in general. Because even if you look at, like, they're always concerned about, like, bacteria or viruses taking out the world. And I'm like, what about the funguses? Because there's no soul for them. Like, if you've got a fungus, it's very hard to get rid of compared to a bacteria.
I firmly believe that everyone in society should have a forced mushroom trip at certain stages of their life.
Microdosing, it's a thing
well,
now.
Not even micro. I think,
you're
I think
like,
it's okay.
Micro,
yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, well, you just like a little awakening, man. It's good
really
for you.
You really sold it. A forced. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's nothing wrong with like, it'll be a trustful. Like, everyone's got you. It'll be fine. It's just you've got to sometimes be pushed in the right direction.
Now, I think we should end on one question that you had, John, earlier about what would happen. Would the world be a better place if we all had a tiny
bit of
land?
Mushrooms in us. What? No, that was me. Yeah, I was saying that.
We can all have
This is the thing. I think humans have a massive disconnect to caring about the land, especially if you live in a city. I think you just don't even know. You never see the grass for a long time. But my theory was, is it because, you know, not everybody owns a bit of land, so how can you really give a shit about, you know what I mean? Like, how can you actually...
Yeah, absolutely. And that's...
There's a disconnect there, I think.
And that's the whole tragedy of the commons. So we actually used to have commons that we all sort of...
Could you go to your, like, little bit of forest and go check it out?
No. Yeah, so in 1215, the King John of England established commons...
Sorry, the king's name?
King John.
Did you enjoy that, John?
Yeah, a little shiver down my spine, of course.
That guy. He established commons.
What was his first name, John? John.
Forests and fisheries, which meant that you could go and have your own little piece of it and sit in there, and you had the right to do that. And it wasn't until later on in history that they started selling off and privatising the commons.
We're going to need that bit, please.
The wealthy people are going to take it off you. And at the time, a woman invented the game of Monopoly to show what was going to happen.
Angry at each other at the end of the game. That's what happens.
Well, no, because what happens in Monopoly is once you start winning
Steals from the bank.
Well, that does happen. Yeah. But once you start winning you then start making more off rent and more off rent and more off rent. And so you end up with a world of haves and have nots. And
you
that's
end up getting in a big argument with your brother. That's what happens.
Not like categories. I'm but that's like a microcosm. With a pencil.
But what I'm saying is that's a microcosm of the world, isn't it? Like, it just gets all a bit nasty up there. Up the top.
So that's why Monopoly was invented, to show that the commons was actually a better solution than privatisation.
Is there a commons game? Like, is that the game of life?
I don't think that's
the game of Mousetrap.
It's funny how something's been invented to show people how bad it could be, but people have gone, this is a way that I could make lots of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because I think that everyone's got this weird, maybe not everyone, but most people have this weird sense like, yeah, but I could just roll the dice and end up on Oxford Street.
You even get money
so
when you go to jail.
So I don't want to like ruin the system because I could be the owner of Oxford Street.
Yes.
Don't you get like $200 when you get out of jail or something? I don't know, when you go around, you don't go to jail then.
Yeah,
fuck Monopoly.
I think that's it.
No wonder you...
You're terrible at Monopoly.
I always try to get the stations, and it's just because I like
them.
The
utilities.
They're not handy
at
all. They're not handy. Old Ken Road.
Collect $25 off my station.
Jeez.
And the guy on Oxford Street's reaping in like $1,000 for all his
motels. Nobody really knows the jail rules either. Everyone makes that bit up. Like, oh, you're allowed in once. Thing. You can get
out. There's always a little bit of stealing allowed in Monopoly.
Definitely. Never go to the bathroom. If you're playing Monopoly, pee in a jar or something. Don't leave.
Which is also kind of metaphoric for life, too. You know?
Keep your eye on your stash.
So I don't know the answer to the commons. Did we look after things better back in the day? Maybe. You look at the Māori, but people, like, they were really good at setting up, you know, quota systems. And they learnt the hard way and then went, we should probably have some quotas around this and some rules. And so they actually did a pretty good job, you know, by the time we turned up and ruined it all.
The amount of respect that culture has for the land is insane.
Because they had to, because they're living on it,
exactly,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You're in it and you're in it.
I mean, maybe having
everyone
commons
should have a sheep or a cow.
Maybe commons is not exactly the answer right now, but people still can get out and enjoy the outdoors, I think.
Hey, what was that bit of land that everyone bought, like that weird little bit? Like everyone kind of got together and someone bought
commune.
That.
Like a commune.
Yeah, where was it? Down like in the South Island.
Yeah, there's heaps of them,
like,
though.
Little beachy
they did
area.
Quite well. I think People can.
It is still easy for people to go out and enjoy
start
the great
a cult
outdoors.
If you want.
And you can get an appreciation for the outdoor and get some sort of connection.
Absolutely.
To go
absolutely.
To the beach.
Oh, I mean, I'd love to see us move to like a 3 or 4 day work week and then we get a day or two off to like tend to common
French?
Gardens or something, you know.
Sounds like fun, actually.
It does. Anyway, I'm a dreamer. That's me.
Okay.
I think we might have answered all the questions, I hope.
Well, everything that popped into my brain just now. I'm starting to think about bees now, but I think we should probably gap it.
Okay.
And,
thanks for having me, guys.
We'll hit back next Monday with Sustaining Life. Thanks, Rita.
All right, have a good week.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.